Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we could be a blessing to you and to your family. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the day. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, just to be able to, Lord, take our time and attention for a little bit of time and just, Lord, direct it to your word. We do pray that you allow the Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak to our hearts, to challenge each and every one of us, to change us. And Father, from that change, may the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up. And Father, as the Lord Christ is lifted up, may you be honored. You said, you've told us, Lord, herein is the Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And Lord, may we be able to bear much fruit by lifting up your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this day. Use this day, Father, for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in a series, have been for some time now, Biblical Principles for Practical Living. Going through the book of Proverbs, we're in Proverbs 17, and we're in verse number 1. The Bible says here in verse number 1, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. What I've been trying to do through my time on the radio here on Tuesday mornings is to go through and find and identify biblical principles out of specifically during this series through the book of Proverbs, and we're trying to make an application where we can have a practical application, in other words, put it into practice immediately and make it a daily part of our everyday living. I think one of the complaints about the lost world today, those that are unbelievers, as they look into the church, they see so much hypocrisy. And of course, you and I as Christians, we know that the devil has done a very artful job in sowing the tares among the wheat. And so often when the world is looking into the church, often what much of what they are seeing are in fact the tares that he has sown among the wheat, and he's creating confusion. We know that. The devil knows that, but the world doesn't know that because they can't distinguish the difference. And so they just use the words, the semantics. They say the same words, use the same phrases, but oftentimes they don't have a clue what they're talking about other than they're just regurgitating some verbiage that they've used. But you and I know what's taking place. We know how Satan has sown tares among the wheat. But we also know that sometimes the wheat, or the true born-again child of God, is not doing what he or she should be doing. And so the world looks at us and they see hypocrisy, and that sort of turns them off. One of the things I'm trying to combat as I go through the series is to get us as believers to see that our faith is not something that we practice on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights. It's something that it is a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of our life, relationship and fellowship with the creator of this world, the Lord God Jehovah. There is no other God. There is one God, and that's the Lord God Jehovah, the God of Israel, the God that spoke this world into existence. And so as we look at our Bibles and we look at the world, we say, how can I get the message out to the world? Well, one of the ways, I believe, is simply to live a life that gives a testimony of the difference that Jesus Christ makes in our life. And so that's what I'm trying to do through this series, is to find some principles that God teaches us in his word and to make a practical application. In other words, put it into practice so that Christ can be seen in us, the hope of glory. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're in chapter 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifice with strife. Now, from that, I get this principle here that we ought to learn to be content with what God has given to us. We need to learn to be content. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. It goes on to say in verse 8 there, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You know, as simple as that is to understand it, many times, many of us as believers are in fact anything but content. We have gotten caught up into the allure of the world to get the gain, a better job, better income, better home, better car, better position, bigger bank account. And sometimes we lose sight that our citizenship is not here on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are of a heavenly kingdom. We have a heavenly abode, eternity waiting for us with the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we lose sight of that, and we get to thinking and get to living as if we're living just for the here and now. And we get all caught up in getting the things of this world, as if this is our only abode. And sometimes we just need to be reminded, I'm just passing through. This is not my home. I have a treasure laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We are citizens of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not to get caught up and to be wrapped up in all of the things and the minutiae of the world today. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is little with the fear of the Lord. Boy, that makes a lot of sense. There are a lot of people who have great amounts of things, of stuff, and they're miserable. And yet God says here it's better to have a little and to have the fear of the Lord than to have great treasures and all the troubles that come with those often. In Proverbs 15:17, better is a dinner of herbs with where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. In Psalm 37:16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Isn't that interesting? The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many, not just one, but many wicked. God's trying to teach us that it's better to have just a little bit, a dry morsel in quietness, than it is to have a house full of sacrifices, a house full of plenty, and to have strife and contention and just discord. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 16:8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. And of course, we all, I think, remember this in Matthew 6:32-33, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. They're seeking the things and stuff. But the Bible says, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the principle number one this morning simply is this, is to learn to appreciate what God has given to us. Learn to be content. Learn to enjoy the little and that you have with righteousness than to become unrighteous while you're seeking to get the gain of this world. We're just passing through. We're strangers. This is not our eternal abode. We're just living here for a temporary time, and we'll live with the Lord forever. We need to be sometimes sort of jarred into alertness. We need to be aroused from our drowsiness, spiritually speaking, and be reminded we're not here for the here and now. We're living for the eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and all that we should be doing should be done with heaven in mind, with Jesus Christ being glorified and lifted up. So may God help us this morning. You know, if you've been frustrated and you've been fussing and feuding at the house because you're working too many hours, you're working too many days, you haven't had any time for yourself or your family, and you're caught up in the minutiae and the things of this world, and your family's falling apart because you're seeking the things of this world, may the Lord help you sort of just to be mindful of the error that you're doing, that you're making, and seeking the things of this world. If you're a Christian, then you ought to be seeking the things of eternity, not these things here that are temporal. And may God help us to have the wisdom and the discernment to do that. Let's drop down to verse number 3 and look at one more principle this morning that we can make a practical application of. The Bible says here in verse 3, the fining pot is for silver, excuse me, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Now that word trieth there, the Lord trieth the heart. The word trieth means to test. It has the idea of especially testing metals. Generally or figuratively, meaning simply, it means to investigate, to examine something, to prove something, to tempt or to try it. And so when the Bible talks about the Lord tries the heart, and he's likening it to like a fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold. Most of us understand, I'm sure, that the way to purify silver or gold is to basically to heat it up and to separate the dross or the impurities And so they'll rise to the top, and you can scoop them off. And all, and the more you do that, the more pure gold or silver that you'll have. And so that's a way of purifying the gold. Well, and you have the heat. We often think of the Bible, when we talk about a fire, a heat, as a testing. And so God uses heat or a testing, a fire in our life, and he's using that to test us. In other words, to get the impurities out. He's not trying to find out what impurities are there, because he knows very well what impurities are there. God knows us better than we know ourselves. So the testing is not so he can find out what we're going to do. The testing is to show us what we really are, so that we can then take an honest assessment and say, you know what, I need to fix some things. I need to repent. I need to change my mind, change my thought process about some things that God is teaching me through this difficulty, through this testing, this fire that God is sending me through. The Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 10 through 12, it says, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10, the Bible says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Notice that phrase. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. God uses affliction. God uses trials in our life to help us to be better, to help us to see what he already knows. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, the Bible says, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee." The same idea here of trying to prove, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. In other words, God was going to test him and give them an opportunity to pass or fail the test. And based upon how they did on the test, it would determine what God would do with them next. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16, "Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end." You see, when God is challenging us, when God is allowing us to have afflictions and sorrows, he's not being hateful, he's being helpful. He's doing it so that he can get us in a place so that he can then at the end bless us and do good to us. The Bible teaches us in the book of Job, chapter 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Trials are often used by the Lord to test us. These are not so that God can see what we will do, because he already knows what we'll do, but rather so that we can see what we would do, so that we can discover who we really are, so that we can be honest with ourselves, and then in turn, hopefully and prayerfully, be honest with the Lord. It makes it easier for us then to see why difficulties arise in our life. In other words, why do these things happen? We often hear people say, you know, why did I go through this? Why is this taking place? Why is life so hard? Why am I facing these trials? Why is it the harder I try, the harder it gets? Why, we ask sometimes. And we've all asked that. And I don't believe the Lord minds an honest question. And he's not intimidated by an honest question. We need to be careful how we ask, clearly. But why? And so in the seeking of why, we will often find, I believe, if we will be honest with ourselves, that we learn about ourselves something that we would not have learned had we not gone through that affliction. And God already knows it, so he doesn't need to find it out or discover it. He's allowing us to see it so that we will hopefully respond appropriately and turn to him and say, "Lord, I have a problem, and I can't fix it. Lord, I need your help. Would you help me to be, God, what I'm supposed to be?" In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, the Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." In Romans chapter 5, a very familiar portion of Scripture, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And then finally in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, the Bible says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Dear Christian, today God is working in all of our lives, and sometimes we do face affliction. Sometimes we face difficulties and trials. And when that takes place, don't get mad. Don't get bitter. Don't accuse God falsely of mistreating you. Rather, look at it as an opportunity, as a stepping stone to learn something about yourself and to learn something even more about the God you serve that will enable you to be a better Christian. And as you become more and more what God wants you to be, then God can begin to do more and more for you what he wants to do. So God is working in our lives. He's training us. He's educating us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's testing us. He's trying us. He's getting out the impurities so that there will be a vessel that is a lot more pure, a lot more valuable. And so God's doing a mighty work in your life when he allows these tests to test you. May you and I respond accordingly. May we appreciate. And the principle simply would be this: when God tests, be moldable, be yielded, and long to learn and to see what God's trying to teach you about yourself. You'll be better off for it, and God will be able to bless you for it. I thank you for taking time to listen today. You have a great day.